Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are continuing our series on Songs of Ascent, and I am joined by two special guests and friends. First, we're joined by lead pastor Jose Avaroa.
Good morning, Taylor.
Back to the podcast. And we're joined by worship pastor Joel Hernandez. Joel, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
Joel, you did a great job on Sunday. There was a little bit of everything in your message on Sunday. And so I would love to hear behind the scenes. You had a pretty busy week, I know personally, leading up to the message that was a little unusual. So we'd love to hear how God used the week ahead of time, the few days ahead of time to prepare for Sunday.
Yeah, a lot going on in our church in general, and then definitely I think a lot of the staff as well. We were all over the place, but I love this series so much, and this psalm specifically, I've been hearing it my entire life. It was one of my grandma's favorite psalms. It was just a special psalm, and so we went to Santiago, Mexico, and we were in the mountains, in the hills. And so I think in a lot of places, Jose was hearing me say, I lift my eyes to the hills.
Yep. And I'm like, are those hills or are they mountains? They were higher hills than ours, but they were still hills.
Absolutely. But I think just because it's such a short psalm as well, I was able to read that so many times throughout the week and just trying to put my focus and attention on that. And the Lord was really speaking through a lot of the things that we were doing there. And there were lots of, when we go there, sometimes we don't know exactly what's going on with time and this and that, and have to just really trust in the Lord on what He wants for us in those times. And so it was a good time of preparation, and then got to spend some time with Jose, Paulina, and Tom, and they honestly helped me a lot too. Got to talk through it some, so it was great.
Yeah, that was fun. I don't always have that, able to throw ideas for messages.
But, yeah.
And sometimes it's difficult because you may want help, and then, and ironically, this was on help, right? So I think you did a good job accepting the help. But sometimes you ask for help, and then you get something off base with great intentions. But what I loved was that it was very clear that Tom shared some things that were very insightful, and that you applied, and Paulina, and our conversations. So yeah, I think it was a, anyway, you didn't ask me, you asked Joel, but it was a good week to experience that type of content before a message absolutely. Like the one that you shared.
Yeah, well, let's jump into the verses in this passage in Psalm 121, and particularly the first part here. And Joel, your first point about truths that come out of Psalms 121 is that our help comes from the Lord. And just even the first two verses saying, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And I would love to just hear y'all's thoughts on the significance of us as followers of Jesus echoing that same question of where does my help come from? And really this first truth, Joel, that you mentioned is our help comes from the Lord. But why, starting with just the question, why do you think it's helpful to just even analyze that in our own hearts? And maybe just kind of how does that question allow us to see where we're at with God, where we're at just in our life?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this, I think in most of the gatherings, I might have missed one, but we self-help a lot. So we try and figure out ways that we can help ourselves. And I think that's a root of pride, of fear, of insecurity. I think there's lots of things there. But the point is that it's hard to rely on other people. And then we want to just take control of things. And so I think the importance is getting to a place of saying, man, Lord, without you, I literally cannot do this. And I described a couple of things in my life where I really, really felt that. And yeah, I think, Jose, we've shared a little bit of this in our stories of just fear and anxiety really eating us up on the inside, and getting to the place of like, Lord, I need to put my identity in you. I need your help to be able to like just live in a normal way. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I think about our worship postures. Some people worship with their hands tight right here, you know, hands in pockets, sitting down. Some don't sing. Some just enjoy listening. And then others lift hands. And I think the lifting of hands symbolizes a lot of different things. We know it symbolizes surrender. It symbolizes celebration. But it also, I think, symbolizes, hey, you know, when you ask a question, what do? You raise your hand.
Yeah.
And I also think it's like, hey, God, I need you. I'm raising my hand because I'm asking you for help. And for me, it is hard to ask for help. To your point, self-help is easier. I prefer to help myself than ask somebody else for help. Remember back when we used to not have navigation on our phones, when we used to drive. And did you guys ever roll down the window and ask for help when you were driving from A to B?
I personally did not, but I saw my parents do that a lot.
Oh, come on, guys. Really? When you started driving, did you already have phones that can navigate?
I think so. I don't really remember, but yeah, I think so.
Pretty close, yeah.
Wow.
I feel like you would have too, though.
No, really? No. I remember printing out MapQuest directions to get from A to B. I guess that must have changed in that year or two. Because anyway, let's not get into years and technology coming out when. But the point is, you're right. I did see my parents do it a lot more. My mom more than my dad. But when you're in a place, hey, where is so-and-so? Asking for help is very humbling.
Yeah.
And I do think that that's the main key of this verse, is that if we are humble enough to ask God for help, everything else that this chapter talks about will happen. He will not let our foot slip. He doesn't sleep. His battery doesn't run out.
Right.
Our phones die, but he will always be there to help us. So it's humbling, but then it's so powerful when I'm able to humble myself and ask God for help.
I'd love to talk about just asking for God's help in the big things as well as the little things,
right?
Because I know as I've just, I have so much still to grow in my relationship with God, but one of the things early on I remember him teaching me is that he is there to help me in all categories of my life, all areas of my life. And yet for me, sometimes I just save either the biggest ones for him or maybe the more quote unquote spiritual things that seem like that's where God is. So I'd love for y'all just to speak to even the value of inviting God in and seeking his help in all aspects of our life and just how you've seen God, you know, even just grow your walk as you do that.
Yeah, that's good, Taylor, because you're right that when we think about this, normally it's, okay, I need to move, or where am I going to go to college, or am I going to confront this person or have a hard conversation with this person about this? But what about waking up and asking, Lord, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to show up in this meeting? How do you want me to, some things we shouldn't ask God for help. We should read our Bibles. We should pray. We should brush our teeth. We should take care of our chores and those things. But it's the little things, I think, that grow our intimacy with God the most.
Yeah.
And it's inviting him. And to Joel's point, I do this better when I'm on mission.
Yeah.
So in Mexico, there were many times, every morning we ask the question, what does success look like? And then what we did is we gave it up to God so that he can define what success looks like. And if those were aligned with our idea of success, then really the results were up to him because we already surrendered to him. So I think that was a good example last week of us living that out. But it's hard to do.
Yeah, I think the game changer for me was realizing that God actually does care about those small details, because I think the lie that I sometimes would believe is that God only cares about the big things, or God only cares about these big decisions that I have going on. But I think scripture is clear, and I think we'll get into this in the second point too when we talk about that he's our keeper. But he really does care to be in all things with us, from big to small. And so that's kind of what helped me, is realizing, man, God cares, and he just wants to be with me in all things.
Taylor, I'm interrupting you, but you had a pretty big week yourself. So you were supposed to go on our Mexico mission trip.
That's right.
And we were excited to give you the Mexican tour of all things, the taco stops, and test your Spanish, and really test your trust in me as I drove you around Mexico. it's a different world. But God opened up this opportunity for us to help those in Kerr County, and you led the charge. So you went from being on a mission trip to really leading a large-scale mission. How did you see God in the details? How did you see God help you with the small things as you were looking, okay, how do we do this? How do we do that? There's big things like we need to go. But once you were there, I'm sure there were a lot of little things that you saw God help you. So how did you keep that mindset as you led?
Yeah, no, something that I think it was, I don't know if it's Dave Eubank or somebody that shared before the difference between a good idea and a God idea. So I think that's something that particularly I was realizing this as I was reflecting after the weekend, but just how in moments that are moving super fast, so like in a, you know, in a disaster area, it's like there's so many ideas, there's so many needs, there's so many things that you can do to help. And so having that discernment, okay, is this a good idea or a bad idea? And throughout the weekend, God kept highlighting one family in particular, and then really within that one city of Hunt, Texas, that we really kind of just focused and zeroed in on. And so it was just neat. And even just throughout, since Sunday, coming back, we've heard of more connections to through our church in that particular town.
It's amazing.
Just doors down from where we were at. And so really just, it's almost where, thankfully, and talking to some of the team members that have gone on these kind of trips before, they just love how God, it's almost, he's just so loud. And so it's one of those where in those moments, you know, he's always working around us, you know, whether there's a disaster in front of us or not, but it's in those moments, I think it's just so clear and it's so evident that, you know, I'm leaving walking. I was talking to Blake McLean, one of the leads on the team, about going to get some food for our team. And then I take like three steps and someone shows up with food and he's like, here you go. Do y'all need some food? So it's just small things like that, that we shared with our team after, just how God was continually kind of showing up in moments that you couldn't script it. You couldn't kind of make it up. So I think it's really neat. And again, the convicting part is that knowing that God is actually always moving, he's always working.
That's
I think just my radar or my receptivity was higher and heightened when I was over there, but really that same thing is happening every single day in the normal, in the mundane. So
not that we need to live in disaster or cause disasters. That's more so for me than for y'all, because I really love a high stress environment.
You are unique in that, Jose.
Thank you. But what you just said, Taylor, is huge, that God's working regardless. And what do you think that is that keeps us from living that way? Hearing God so loudly. Is it too, like we live very planned out days? Is that part of it? We live too structured. We live too comfortably.
Yeah, that's the word.
Self-help is alive and active in our culture and in our lives.
The word that was coming to me was definitely that comfortability. I think when we're put in moments where we have to rely on the Lord, then, you know, it just comes alive. I think we live pretty distracted lives. I can say that for myself, where we have things in our lives that are comfortable. And I wonder what it would look like, challenging myself here and all of us to remove some of that stuff and live in the uncomfortableness. Jose, you talk about this a lot, but that's that growth zone where we really can grow when we are a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. There's just fewer options in a situation like that. There's fewer tools and resources available than we're normally used to on a day-to-day basis. Fortunately for many people listening, you don't have to be wondering where your next meal is coming from. We already have that either planned out or a bunch of different options or something like that. And yet for those that have just experienced a tragedy, there's some very real limitations to where their next meal is coming from, who's going to help them, because the need is just far greater than any one person can meet. And so I think there's just a healthy level of humility that's caused in an environment like that.
Yeah, it's good.
The next part here on this we're going through as far as Psalms 121, talking about the Lord is our keeper. And verse 5 says, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. And really verses 3 through 6 kind of encapsulate this key here about the Lord being our keeper. There's so many ways that I could kind of ask this question, but Joel, I feel like one of the things that I loved how you shared was just how God used just your dad and your dad's passing and just teaching you and just showing you more about how he used that very personal story in your life in the way of just showing how God is your keeper. Because I think someone that's, it's a bright day outside, life's going pretty well, it's like, okay, sure, yeah, God's our keeper. But how in the midst of grief, in the midst of such the unexpected, did you see God really reinforce this idea that he is your keeper?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the word that I said on Sunday is stability. Like, there's so much going through your mind at the time, and you just need something to cling to, and it's the Lord. It's his faithfulness. It's the fact that he keeps you steady and grounded and protected. And one of the things that I shared on Sunday the sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. That verse right there. And I talked about how shade really does just protect you. It doesn't, the sun's going to be out regardless, right? Like you can't really stop that. But if you find that pocket of protection, so to speak, that's what the Lord provides in that shade. He just covers you. And it's like this breath of fresh air, even in the toughest moments where you can just get a glimpse of, man, the Lord is right here with me.
Yeah, I think about what we were talking about earlier and one of the things that keeps us from acknowledging God's presence and how present He is to help us. And that is it just there. We've built more buildings since the writing of this passage. Before, less buildings, the cover is under the trees. Wow. So shade is way more of a, you're looking for the shade. The paths are going to follow the shade. Think about that path that we took in Mexico. It was a very hot day in Santiago. And there was a faster path in the sun, and there was a longer path. We were going from A to B along the shade, and we took the longer path because we wanted to be covered.
That's right.
And I do think that sometimes God may want to take us through a longer path. When we think of grief, when we think of hard times, we want to get out of it fast.
Mm-hmm.
We want to feel good now. And the world does offer us a lot of instant gratification. The world offers us drugs and literally both prescribed and not prescribed, whatever, alcohol that numbs us in the temporary, but doesn't give lasting effects for our good. Yet the Lord says, hey, follow me. My road is narrower. My road is longer, but my outcome is longer lasting. So He truly will keep us in the long run if we hold on to Him versus if we hold on to the things that this world has to offer.
Let's keep going here just on this third part that ties really similar to all of this, which is the Lord keeps us safe and secure. He's our keeper, and He also keeps us safe and secure. I'd love to ask both of y'all just something at my community group last night. We were talking about this, and even just given the tragedy in Kerr County and the floods just in the Hill Country, and just sadly so many lives that are lost, it's one of those where I think for some people they're either leaning into this truth, knowing that God keeps us safe and secure, or they're sadly those who don't yet know who God is, or maybe this is really testing and challenging to ask, where is God and how can He keep us secure and safe? And so as believers, as we follow Christ, as we seek to pursue faith in Him, there's going to be times where we get rattled, and there's times where we do have doubts, or we do start to wonder, does God really have me here? Am I really safe in God? And so I'd love to just ask y'all, what would be some just practical ways that you've grown in your trust and your faith in this statement itself, just in these verses in Psalms 121?
Yeah, for me, it's the eternal security that we have in Christ. So that's the anchor. We all have we all have terminal illnesses. We have a termination date. That's when God calls us home. Some figure out that sooner than others, and tragedies like this are, like you said, Taylor, shocking. Again, you go back to the ancient ways. People in biblical times, they were very familiar with tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
There were terrible things, wars, there were natural disasters. They didn't have the protections nor the stability that we've been able to build around. And so faith came easier for them. You find this when you do travel to other places, more cultures are familiar with death than we are. So the point is that we're all going in the same direction. There's no home that we can build. There's no medicine that we can take. There's no workout regimen that we can apply to really outlive death. We're going to die. So what Jesus brings us is security that once we die, we will actually live. I think the question is, are we going to die to ourselves before we naturally die? And that's Jesus. Are we going to choose to make Him Lord and not be master of our own lives? I've been thinking a lot about this through this tragedy, because I'm grateful that Jesus made himself real to me to the point that I knew, okay, I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to understand why bad things happen. So that's me dying to myself. And so then I put my trust in God and ultimately believe that he knows, and I know that because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, my eternity is secure.
Yeah.
And so I can now, anyway, I can say more, but I can now show up to people to help with that mindset. So instead of showing up, yesterday I saw somebody on the side of the road, unplanned, and she has just gone through a terrible family event of great loss. And again, I didn't plan the event. I actually went a wrong way. So wow. I was lost, and not lost. I was going to go back to the road, but I saw her walking with her parents and who were in town to help her through this. So I got to get out of the car and I got to just check in. And that was an opportunity to, you know, show her that God's with her, but it showed me too.
Yeah.
Like, God, you're awesome. You know who needs help, and you put people there to help.
That's really good, Jose. Yeah, Taylor, for me, I think of number one, God's faithfulness. And then I just remember his track record that we see throughout scripture for sure. But even you can personalize that and look at your life and think, man, from when I was a kid, from situations that I remember growing up a little further and, you know, getting into more complex relationships or whatever, then you start to remember, God, you've showed up for me in every moment of my life. You're going to continue to show up for me even in the hardest things. And so I think you asked the question, and what about the people that don't know the Lord or whatever? I think so many people just want safety. They want to feel safe and secure. And I think truly, and I know we all believe this, the best medicine that we have is to offer them Jesus and let them know the good news that he can sustain them through tragedy, through hardships.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. And I think I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts, just even as we close, on the significance of this psalm being in the Songs of Ascent, because that's even just something that sometimes we can pick. A few summers ago, we just picked some psalms throughout the summer, and you know, but there's just even just singling out this particular section. Would love to hear y'all's thoughts on just why you think even the historical context is helpful for this chapter.
Yeah, Joel, I loved how you closed and you worshiped because we don't have the melodies of these hymns. Oh, man, wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be so cool.
If we knew how. I don't think we'd like them. I think they'd be too tonal.
It's more like chants.
Exactly. Yeah. So they may not play on the radio, but we do have their words, and their words have great meaning. And singing really is a great way for us to remember, especially when we're on a journey. So I went to bed Sunday night singing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Yeah.
Is that the name of the
hymn? Yeah, that's the name.
So I had never heard that psalm before. I didn't grow up singing hymns. I've never heard that hymn before. I didn't grow up singing hymns. And so equally, these psalms help us while we're on our journey.
Totally. Yeah, I think we all know this, but what we sing and music really does have power. And so it reminds us of the truth of who God is. And that's what these pilgrims were doing on their ascent into Jerusalem. They were just reminding themselves, God, you are faithful. Even though there is danger, there is fear, there is things out there, God, you are so much bigger than all of those things. And we trust you.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.